WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Yasser Arafat may have just picked up his Nobel Peace Prize, but to many Palestinians, he's no longer a hero. As the leader of the new Palestinian Authority in the West Bank and Gaza, he's being met with increasing opposition. In a recent New York Times article, my guest Youssef Ibrahim reported that graffiti slogans now denounce Arafat's armed militias and police force as killers of Palestinians, Israel's loyal servants, and the dogs of Arafat. Youssef Ibrahim is the Times' regional Middle East correspondent. He grew up in Cairo and was educated there and in the United States. He's currently in New York, where we spoke with him earlier today. Youssef Ibrahim told me there's a widening segment of Palestinians who feel cut off from the peace process.
There are two segments of Palestinians involved in this peace process. There are the Palestinians outside who are the refugees who have been in the diaspora, so to speak. And these were cut out in the first place because the peace process did not involve them, or it said it was going to involve them at a later stage. So the target of this peace process were the Palestinians who were in the West Bank and in Gaza. And in June, of course, many of these Palestinians were rather euphoric about the prospect of an end to Israeli occupation and a move towards autonomy. And these are the Palestinians we are talking about. These are the Palestinians who today feel the peace process is kind of bypassing them, that it is not achieving any of the goals that they were hoping for in June. And I went back just last month, and I was stunned by how much disillusion there is now in the West Bank and in Gaza.
Would you say that Hamas is becoming more popular than the PLO in the territories?
Yes, but we have to qualify this. Hamas is two things. Hamas is first an Islamic movement, and it has always existed as a philosophy, ideology, a movement that advocates a sort of strict Islamic, purist Islamic, if you like, situation and beliefs. But Hamas is also, at this moment, acquiring another dimension, which is that it is becoming the only Palestinian organization strong enough, real enough, present enough, that is opposed to Israeli occupation, because the PLO, which was the other organization, the other Palestinian organization that represented resistance to Israeli occupation, has made peace with Israel.
There have been a lot of battles between the Palestinian Authority police and street protesters in the territories. What have those fights been about?
Essentially, they have been about power and also about the behavior of the Palestinian Authority, which is headed by Yasser Arafat. Mr. Arafat has behaved increasingly since he has arrived to the territory as, you know, another sort of third world dictator, if you like. He has come in and proceeded to ignore the kind of broad aspirations that motivated the enthusiasm for the peace process in Gaza and in the occupied territories. But most importantly, he has largely excluded the people of Gaza and the people of the West Bank from the power and the ruling process. He has brought in with him a large collection of exiles, people like him who were living outside the occupied territories for the last 40 years or so, and empowered those people. And then the other thing he did is he took away or attempted to take away any power or influence from those who have been inside in the last 27 years, essentially mounting, organizing, or suffering from the Israeli occupation of Gaza and the West Bank. So by doing this, he has really provoked the fight. The fight has moved in several stages. It started as criticism, surprise, sense of being offended, and then it moved to another stage. But at every stage, I think the initiative was always taken by Yasser Arafat, not really by Hamas. And when I say the initiative, I mean the initiative of taking power away, of marginalizing people who, until, say, June, when he arrived, basically ran Gaza and the West Bank and managed the resistance to Israeli occupation.
Are the laws that the Palestinian police are enforcing in the West Bank and Gaza considered unjust by some of the people protesting against them?
You know, the problem is that there are no laws. The laws are, there is literally no law which governs anywhere in the West Bank or Gaza, or which applies anywhere in the West Bank and Gaza. There is a mishmash of laws inherited from the Ottoman Empire, British occupation of the region, which were eventually adopted by the Israelis, and which technically should no longer apply. And since the autonomy process came into life, and the PLO has really not initiated any new laws. So what is happening is that the law is becoming basically what Arafat says it is. And it is a very capricious process. It is a very chaotic process. And there is virtually no way, you know, there is no legal path to follow if, say, you robbed and you want to complain, you want to go to the police station. There's simply no due process of any kind. And that may sound terrible to people who have lived in a society that had always law and order. It is not that much of a surprise in the occupied territories, because the law essentially was what the Israelis imposed, and now the law is becoming what Arafat has imposed. But even under the Israelis, there was a certain measure of due process, very limited one, and of course applied very capriciously, but it was there. Right now, there simply isn't.
My guest is Youssef Ibrahim, regional Middle East correspondent for the New York Times. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Youssef Ibrahim. He covers the Arab world for the New York Times. You write that in some of the prisons in Gaza and the West Bank, Islamic militants who are imprisoned are taunting their Palestinian guards by addressing them in Hebrew, the language that the militants learned in Israeli prisons. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you've had a chance to talk with, say, Palestinian guards in prisons about any crisis that they might be going through, having to be seen as the enemy by fellow Palestinians.
I did, and it is traumatic. You have to appreciate that while many of these people work for the Palestinian Authority, they are Palestinian too. And they have come back to Gaza, say, after years and years in exile. Some of them are young enough, that they've never seen Gaza. This is their first time around. Now, you're talking about people who have been watching, quote-unquote, occupied Palestine from the outside for years, who've been dreaming about it, have been building all these visions of life in an independent Palestinian state, who came in June or July in the summer and were greeted effusively, were showered with food and candy, were kissed, were carried around, were the object of adulation, practically speaking, by the people of Gaza, who suddenly now are finding themselves, accused of being henchmen, torturers, policemen. Whether they do it or not is beside the point. They are conducting interrogation sessions of Palestinians who were in that same jail, who might have been in that same jail, say 6 months, 2 years, 5 years ago, being interrogated by an Israeli Shin Bet or officer or secret police officer, who might have been beaten by the Israelis, who now may be slapped by a Palestinian. Some of these who do the violence or who do the interrogation are hardliners committed to what they do. Most of the Palestinian police is traumatized. And that is where Hamas says Arafat cannot count on his police because the process wears them down. It's very shocking. It is traumatic. And many of them really will not be able to support playing the role of oppressor of their own Palestinian brethren.
Are there other similar crises happening behind the scenes at the Palestinian Authority?
I think definitely, and it's very simple to see. Increasingly, the Palestinian Authority, the hardest little core of the Palestinian Authority, is becoming a little island isolated by itself. A lot of the well-known Palestinian intellectuals, the names that everybody has heard over the past few years, people like Hanan Ashrawi, Sari Nosseba, Dr. Hedar Abdeshefi, are simply withdrawing. I mean, they are moving away. They are cutting themselves off from Arafat.
But does that mean they're functionally removing themselves from a leadership position temporarily?
Yes.
For two reasons. Some, for strategic reasons. Some think, calculate that this whole first rank of Palestinian leadership that came in is burning itself out and that it will be discredited. And then there will be a time for the bright ones to come back in and take charge. And some others are thoroughly disgusted and they don't want to have anything to do with a process which they believe wasn't meant to succeed in the first place.
Well, Hamas says it's the only alternative to Arafat. Are there other alternatives?
No, it is not evident that there are any other alternatives for a number of reasons. I mean, we have to think of the Palestinians as a deeply traumatized population, a population whose social structures, political structures have been essentially dismantled or so severely shaken up that there is no process through which reasonable opposition or positions can materialize, be channeled, and eventually emerge. But more importantly, on the intellectual level, the alternatives are also very non-existent because the old left, which was the mainstay of opposition, of the Palestinian opposition movement, is discredited. I mean, nobody believes in leftist causes anymore. The socialist and the Marxist Palestinian organization, which were many, simply no longer have an ideological backbone. They have collapsed, like the Popular Front for the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. They have their fighters, they have their exiles, they have their leaders, they are out there in Syria, in Lebanon, wherever, but they have no audience. Hamas, on the other hand, when you strip it of its Palestinian resistance platform, is a very narrow, in many ways, very reactionary Muslim fundamentalist movement. It really doesn't look at the future, it looks at the past. What it says to the Palestinians is if we go back to the strictest fundamentalist interpretation of Islam, things are going to be all right, but it doesn't say how they're going to be all right. It only says we got to throw, we got to liberate all of Palestine. It's a program that most Palestinians have abandoned. I mean, they've been trying to liberate all of Palestine for 45 years. They have lost each war and they have lost that war. And they have come around to accepting that they might get to make a deal with Israel.
My guest is Yusuf Ibrahim, regional Middle East correspondent for the New York Times. We'll be back in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Yusuf Ibrahim is my guest. He's regional Middle East correspondent for the New York Times. Do you think that some of the Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza have become virtually ungovernable in the sense that they have rebelled against a government, an occupying force that they didn't want for so long, that, you know, is it possible to say they've forgotten what it's like to live under a government that they wanted to cooperate with?
I hesitate to say this because it's like canceling hope. And I think there is hope. I think there is another side to the Palestinian under Israeli occupation, which is, of course, that they do live on the fringes of a first world society, which is Israel, which is rich, which is prosperous, which has a democracy limited to Jews, of course, which excludes the Palestinian, but which is manifestly right there for everybody to see, for the Palestinians to envy, if you like, to want to imitate. And the second thing, of course, is the Palestinians are and have been some of the most educated of and the most politically aware of all Arab population. I think the problem, there is hope for the Palestinian. I think they are governable, but they have got to have some something tangible. They have got to see that the peace process really is bringing some benefits, political benefits and economic benefit.
For so many years, Yasser Arafat was the symbol of hope for the future for Palestinians, the symbol of a possibility of a Palestinian state, the symbol of Palestinian unity. And now he's the symbol of things gone wrong. He's the opposition for many Palestinians. Do you think that there's a lot of Palestinians who are, kind of heartbroken in a way to see someone who'd been a symbol and a hero for so long now be discredited?
Of course, this is true. But heartbreak is almost the name of Palestinians. If you think, I know when you dabble with Palestinians, when you go into the camps, when you talk endlessly over a period of, say, 10 years to Palestinians in conversations that really, only end to begin again, you just see the dimension of the tragedies through which they have lived. I mean, you go to a Palestinian home in the occupied territory, there isn't any home where kids haven't been arrested or thrown into jail or wounded, and in many cases killed. Almost every other house has people who have died resisting. If you go outside in the diaspora, if you go to Palestinian camps in Lebanon and in Jordan, it's a heartbreak story. I mean, it's people who are refugees who are living in tents. Even if we talk to rich Palestinians who used to live in Kuwait, who had BMWs and Mercedeses, it hurts not to have an identity. It hurts not to have a passport. It hurts to be told you are nobody. And it hurts to be a refugee even in an Arab country, let alone outside an Arab country. So heartbreak is the name of Palestinians. Yes, I mean, they are disappointed. Are they the particularly disappointed as Arafat? No, I think most Palestinians were not innocent when it came to Arafat. They knew that Arafat was the symbol of the Palestinian revolution. And for many years, they've supported him as the symbol of the Palestinian revolution. They forgave him the maneuvering because he had to maneuver. He was leading a movement really with nothing. I mean, a shoestring movement from outside. He had to manipulate. He had to lie. He had to do this. He had to do that. But the disappointment, so nobody was naive about the character of Arafat and the kind of dictatorial tendencies of Arafat. But it was hoped, I think, by many Palestinians that once the autonomy process was launched, once it got support from the masses of Palestinians inside and those in the diaspora, that somehow Mr. Arafat will change. How much hope? I don't know, but really people were very hopeful. In that sense, yes, they are disappointed, but people will tell you, okay, what else did you expect?
Do you think Arafat might be pushed to resign by his own people? By people from the PLO, by people who...
I've known Arafat for 20 years. I have a very hard time seeing Yasser Arafat resigning from anything. No.
So even if he were pushed, he wouldn't do it. Is that what you're saying?
He would fight.
He would fight.
And they would fight.
Youssef Ibrahim is regional Middle East correspondent for the New York Times.